This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Always fun to welcome our good friend. You can find him on Twitter at HoopsCritic. And, of course, does great work on SiriusXM as well as NBA TV. Brian Geltzeiler joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Geltz, great to have you on the show as always. Can you believe that these two teams, the Warriors and the Raptors, same odds to win the title right now? Does that surprise you at all?
Not really, especially with the news that just came down, Shawnee, a little over an hour ago, which is that Kevin Durant's not going to play in Game 4. And which I think is a big game changer, and I kind of look at things, and then you do scratch your head a little bit and wonder if that's something that they had to have a pretty good idea about yesterday when they made the decision on Klay Thompson for Game 3. And you do wonder if they knew that was going to be the case, or that was the likely scenario regarding Game 4, it's kind of fair to ask, well, why didn't they have Klay push it? I mean, listen, no one threw Game 3, don't get me wrong. But resting Klay for Game 4, if you were able to roll Klay and Durant out there together down 2-1, well, that's very powerful. Not having Durant to play in Game 4 and putting yourself at a little bit of a disadvantage there in Game 3 with not having Klay Thompson, or a lot of a disadvantage, I should say, that's a big issue. So, yeah, you know, I understand where the odds makers are right now. The Raptors, with their performance last night, have certainly given themselves more than a puncher's chance to take this series.
Yeah, I guess maybe I should be clear, Geltz. My surprise is that the Raptors aren't maybe a small favorite right now just because the Warriors are as banged up a finals team as we've seen in a long, long time, and the Raptors took home court advantage back last night.
Yep, but it's still the Warriors.
Yeah.
And you would have to figure at a certain point in time Durant's going to take the court in this series. The question becomes, is the horse already going to be out of the barn, if you know what I mean? I mean, that's the big issue here, is that if he comes back at 3-1 and then you have to go to a Game 5 in Toronto, because keep in mind, Kevin Durant's not going to enter back into this series where he left off in the Houston series. He's going to have to get some conditioning and some legs. And granted, I don't know that you can make a direct comparison between him and DeMarcus Cousins, who's played three games here in this series, has played one very good one, one okay one where he only played 8 minutes, and one abysmal one last night where they needed him very, very badly. So, you know, you look across the board there and you do wonder a little bit, you know, kind of what's going to happen from here, you know, regarding Durant, and is he going to get out there? But, you know, the thing is, it's still the Warriors, and they've been down 2-1 in series before, and they've always found a way. And with the way Curry performed last night and what he was able to bring, I mean, you just can't ever sleep on him and figure, hey, it's you know, the Warriors are finished, you know, kind of, you know, stick a knife in them. They're not there. And the thing is, that the deeper you get into the series, the harder it's going to beat the Warriors.
Ryan, it's great to have you on again. We appreciate your
time. Thank you, Rich.
I definitely want to circle back to the finals, obviously, but I want to jump to the Rockets, and because I really want your take on what you see going on here, especially since they were eliminated by the Warriors. When last seen, Harden and Paul were apparently doing at least some sort of bickering about ball distribution, and neither one of them, nobody on the team, as a matter of fact, did any sort of exit interviews or media availabilities after the season. The rumors start flying. D'Antoni's contract negotiations come to an end, and he kind of looks like a lame duck coach right now. Morey's put everybody on the roster available, at least reportedly. What do you think's going on here? Where do you think we're headed?
All right, well, there are two separate issues here, Rich. So let's start with the coaching situation. I don't think they want Mike D'Antoni to be the coach of this team next year. And I think part of that is, and the reason that he probably still is in there is because if they bring in another coach, they'd like it to be a high-profile coach that has a championship pedigree, and those don't come cheaply, which is kind of getting to my point. This is about money. And I think they tried to force Mike out a little bit, or maybe Mike to take a settlement, and they offered Mike a cheaper kind of deal that was based upon incentives. And for Mike, at the age of 68, with what he's accomplished in this league, he doesn't have to take that, and he's not going to. So I think that part of this here is, can we push Mike D'Antoni out without necessarily having to pay him his full number? I don't think it benefits anybody. It doesn't benefit Mike. It doesn't benefit the Rockets. It doesn't benefit the fans. If Mike comes back on a lame duck deal, because here's the other problem. With Mike having 1 year left on his deal, who are you getting to be quality assistants to replace Jeff Bezdelic and Roy Rogers? You're not. And I think that's a really big issue regarding that situation. And I don't – listen, I just don't think that ownership wants to necessarily pay two coaches big money. I think they kind of feel like they need to move on from Mike. But it's, you know, hard financially right now, which brings me to their next point, which is what's going to happen with this roster. Listen, this I'll tell you. You don't leak Chris Paul being available unless you're pretty sure you have somewhere to put him. And I don't think they're going to get value back for Chris Paul. I think it's a salary dump. But when you have a situation where the owner isn't going to pay a lot of luxury tax, if any at all, you're going to be in a spot here where you need to be able to make some moves with this roster, and you can't afford a player like Chris Paul is $40 million a year when you're already paying James Harden. Now, yes, could you go move Clint Capella and try to get some value from him out there? You could try, and he's a very valuable player. However, he's only as valuable as the market is for him out there. And what you have right now is a glut of centers out there. You don't have to go trade a lot of value for Clint Capella and pay him $17 million a year, because there's other guys that maybe not as good as Capella, but will do a similar job for you at a much cheaper price. So I do think that they're going to end up getting Chris Paul off the books some way, somehow, and be able to be players come July 1st in free agency. I think that is absolutely imminent for this team, because I think if they're able to do that, there's going to be some flexibility. It wouldn't surprise me if they get some value for Eric Gordon on the last year of a contract to be able to rejigger this roster. I think they want to be able to shuffle the deck on this roster a little bit, but they need some cheap labor to do it, and they don't have any. And that's where I think all this is coming from. That's why I do think that, you know, if you ask me to speculate right now, and yeah, some of this is knowledge and some of this is speculation, but I tell you, I don't believe Mike D'Antoni is going to be coaching this team when the season starts, and I don't necessarily believe Chris Paul is going to be on this team when the season starts.
I agree with you on both counts of with Paul and D'Antoni. If we can assume that, which I know we can't, but hypothetically, if that's the way it's going to go down, obviously, the hottest rumor is going to be Paul going to the Lakers, LeBron convincing Stan Pelinka to give up the cap space to fulfill their dream of playing together before their careers come to an end. How much stock do you put in that possibility? And if that were to come about, if you're Daryl Morey, how do you use that money to make sure you're not taking a step in the wrong direction?
Well, I'll say this. Let's start with the second question first, how to use the money. Keep one thing in mind. This was an organization that was prepared to pony up 4 first-round picks this fall for Jimmy Butler. And when you watch how Jimmy Butler just performed in these playoffs for the Philadelphia 76ers, he certainly didn't make himself less attractive. So I think that's a guy to keep an eye on. I think they would hope maybe he'd take a little bit less, or if they had to make that major kind of investment, maybe they wouldn't have to give Butler a full 4 years if they'd max him out. So I think that's certainly a possibility. As far as the Lakers are concerned, you know, that's an interesting situation because we know who their first choice is, and it's not Chris Paul. Their first choice is Anthony Davis. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of offers come down the pike for David Griffin in New Orleans for Anthony Davis. Because to my understanding right now, you know, it's kind of a 4-horse race in terms of the places that Davis would consider signing long-term. And those 4 horses are Boston, Los Angeles, both Los Angeles teams, and the New York Knicks. From what I'm understanding is that the Celtics, who don't know that they're going to be able to keep Kyrie Irving and would probably have to put Tatum and Brown in a deal like that. They don't necessarily want to put Tatum in a deal like that. So if they're not willing to put Tatum in, that kind of puts them in the back seat where they're not in a good spot. The Knicks are so convinced they're getting Durant and Kyrie Irving, and the Nets just made a trade that helps them have 2 max cap slots, and we're hearing a lot of buzz about Kyrie Irving and them. So that's a situation where the Knicks are so convinced they have that lined up, they're not necessarily willing to pony up big for Anthony Davis at this point. And the Clippers, who believe they have a very good chance at Kawhi Leonard, and they believe they have a puncher's chance at Kevin Durant, and think they could bring him in also, they're not necessarily going to sell the farm for Anthony Davis. Well, that leaves the Lakers and their level of desperation to do something here to try to, quite frankly, put a silk head on a pig with what's been one of the worst off seasons from a PR standpoint we've ever seen a team have. And we're not even in the middle of June yet. So, I mean, so for the Lakers here, they're able to get Anthony Davis, I don't know how attractive Chris Paul is going to be to them. With that said, that's probably not the only option. I think there are some other teams out there that would think a player like Chris Paul gives them instant credibility to bring into their program. So I don't think the Lakers are the only choice, but I think the Lakers certainly would be the easiest and most viable one.
Ryan Geltzeiler joining us on Sports Radio 610. Geltz, we've spent the better part of the last 10 minutes or so. We spent like 2 minutes talking about the finals, and we spent 10 minutes talking about player movement. And I was thinking about this last night as I was sitting in the casino that I was in, looking up at the TV during the NBA finals, and all the chatters about where's KD going to go and where's Kyrie Irving going to go. KD's on a team that's in the finals, and there's segments about where he's going to go. Bottom line, do you think this is good for basketball that the player movement is as big, if not a bigger topic, than the actual NBA finals?
I do. I think the interest in the league's at an all-time high. And I think that part of it is that the NBA and social media, specifically Twitter and Instagram, is a perfect marriage. I think that the players in the NBA, which is different than the NFL and different than Major League Baseball, in that there's only five guys on the court at once, they become much more recognizable figures because you turn your TV on and you see faces, not helmets and masks, and not hats. You see faces, and you get a guy's demeanor on the court, and you kind of learn him and get, and you feel like you know him, and then you can correspond with him directly on Twitter and see their pictures of them and their family on Instagram. It's created an intimacy between fans and players, and then when you get all this TMZ type of buzz regarding where guys are going, it generates a massive amount of interest in the league. It pulls casual fans in. So I don't think the buzz is bad for the league, because listen, right now ratings haven't been wonderful, and part of the reason ratings haven't been wonderful is you have a Canadian team in the finals and those ratings don't count. So that's been a big problem regarding the TV deal, and that's something that's going to have to be accounted for in the next TV deals regarding this. But I do think the on-the-court product is excellent. I thought last night's game, even though it was a double-digit win for Toronto, was a very compelling and very exciting game. And so I'm not sitting here hand-wringing feeling like all of this stuff is bad for the league. I think that fans, listen, fantasy leagues have for years been the big rage out there, right? NBA's kind of become fantasy-ish with players moving teams, and I think that's something fans can kind of get their arms around.
So, Brian, you mentioned that we won't see Kevin Durant until at the earliest Game 5 of this series. Looney's not coming back, and Klay Thompson is obviously kind of a day-to-day situation. What's your best guess on where we're heading in this series and who eventually comes out on top?
You know, what I can tell you is, and this is, I picked the Warriors in six at the beginning of the series, and you guys know me well enough to know that it takes a crane to move me off a prediction. So I'll stay with the Warriors in six with the thought that they can come out and get three in a row. But this has become a one-at-a-time series. I'll tell you, game four, I think that you're going to see a very good performance out of the Warriors. I think the Raptors will continue to play real well. I don't think you'll get six threes out of Danny Green again. I don't know that necessarily Serge Ibaka is going to block six shots again. I think the way that the bit players played for Toronto was, and they've done it in two of the three games, more times than not, they're not going to do that, but I think you'll see a very, very close nip and tuck game with the Warriors hitting a couple big shots late to tie this series, and then Durant could be the game changer and see what happens there. So I'm still going to stay with the Warriors in six, but I will tell you this, I'm much shakier on it now, Rich, than I was before the series began.
That's Brian Geltzeiler. You can get him on Twitter at HoopsCritic, and of course SiriusXM and NBA TV. Also a frequent guest on my Sunday show on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, you're the best. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Right back at you. Shawnee, Rich, always my pleasure. Guys, we'll talk to you soon. Say hi to Clint for me.
All right, we'll do. We'll do that.
Thanks,
for sure,
Brian.
Geltz. Thanks.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.